Talking today with the Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Michael Kelsey. Michael, let's talk a little bit about the latest week as far as the 2022 Oklahoma State Legislative Session. We continue to make some progress, and we're actually seeing some measures kind of cross the finish line and head to the governor's office.
Yeah, there's been a few that have, not very many, but a small handful that have gone to the governor's office, and we're going to see more and more. We're at that part of the station where the session where that's going to uptick. So here we are kind of the mid to the late April. You're going to see more of those measures of all shapes and sizes and scopes that are going to pass whatever side chamber and then go to the governor. In the meantime, we still have a lot of issues that we continue to work on. We've got another deadline coming up that bills must come out of the chamber opposite that it was introduced in, the floor, the opposite it was introduced in. So House bills need to pass off the Senate, the Senate bills need to pass off the House. And the budget negotiations are beginning. Actually, they've already begun. They're hot and heavy, to say the least. And filing was last week, and I don't think we can overlook that. We're in an election year, and so filing occurred last week. A huge number of candidates filed for, if you take a look at all the offices together, and at the same time, there's still almost half of the House, not quite half the House, seats are unopposed. Meaning the person that filed is automatically in, and the Senate's a little lower number than that, but there's still a number of unopposed seats. Of course, only half the Senate is running, whereas all of the House seats are open. So you have all those dynamics going on here towards the end of the April, which really puts some things into perspective, as well as creates some new challenges that maybe we didn't have at the beginning of the session. So here we are, end of April, but you know what? Our sleeves are rolled up, and we're working hard.
Couple of things. Obviously, one of those issues that we have talked a lot about is medical marijuana. How are we doing as we try to deal with these grow houses?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that was one of our biggest priorities as we started this session, as well as our friends that I affectionately call us the Barnyard, all the other ag organizations. This has been a major priority. We continue to make good progress. We've not pushed any of the bills over the finish line yet to get to the governor's desk of major substantial policy, and that we've got to remember this is a big elephant that we're trying to eat, and so we're not going to eat the whole thing, and so we're going to have to try to eat the best parts of it that we can as we move forward. And so we've still got some good policy that's moving forward, whether we're looking at signage for facilities, we're looking at regulatory authority within OMMA and OBN, looking at funding. There's still some good things that are working. We're at that point in the session where things start to get packaged, and so original bills may have either been swooped up into another bill. For instance, let me give you an example, the signage bill. When we first had that bill introduced, that signage bill that we were working on was only for grow houses. Now the House this past week has kind of captured signage for not only grow houses, but also dispensaries. And so the language is different for each one, but it's in one total bill. And so we're starting to see some of those types of things, which is fine as long as we keep moving forward. But we're starting to see some of that kind of stuff. I'm still very positive about where we're going to be at the end of the day. We're not going to get everything we wanted, but I think we're going to get some really good policy, some really good legislation that's going to help us get a handle on some of this issue that we're seeing in rural Oklahoma.
One of those things that did die was this issue of spray drift issue. I know that technically it fell to the wayside, but yet there was some talk about trying to revive it. Any chance of that happening, you think?
It's a good question, and that was one of the casualties that we had. And at this point in time, there is still an opportunity to bring that back and to try to bring some language that works into that. It's hard to say right now whether that can actually happen or not, because as the other dynamic that we didn't mention was, is we're getting into the part of the session where the Senate and the Ag or excuse me, the Senate and the House start negotiating on what's going to be heard, what's not going to be heard, who's going to hear what, those types of things. And so sometimes those things present some challenges. So this, the liability issue, while it's still very important, and we have not abandoned it from a total issue standpoint, just to be honest, I think it's going to be hard to get that done this session. There's still some things we can do from a regulatory standpoint. And by the way, I do think the signage language, which was a big issue for us, I think the signage language is going to help a lot regarding just communication between neighbors and understanding who's permitted and who's not permitted and some of those things. So that is a casualty at this point in time. There's still a little bit of opportunity to get a few things done. And I think we've got some positive on the other end if looking at the signage language and some of those types of things.
Any other particular measures that the you know, OCA, the cattle industry, really, really wants to see, you know, finished up in a positive way?
Yeah, there's a couple of other issues, and they deal with taxes and specifically ad valorem. So we're working on a few cleanup pieces regarding what county assessors send out on the ad valorem form. So there's a section on there that's unmanufactured farm goods. And this is where we've had some assessors, we're getting some members who are calling saying assessors are wanting to know how many number of bales of hay and or how many bushels of wheat or some of those types of things. And the inventory was as of May 31 of last year, which is almost an unauditable, if you will, if you let me use that term, unauditable type of a system, because if, for instance, hay, all that hay's been, or a lot of that hay, especially this year, has been fed up. So how can you audit that? So we're cleaning that language up, and then also working on cattle as far as ad valorem, and are they subject to ad valorem depending upon their ownership? And so we've got a bill on the Senate side, on the House side, Senate side at this point in time that we're working on to try to clean up some of that language.
Let's talk about budget, if we might, for just a moment. You know, this year, a little more money maybe than we, definitely more money than we expected back in January, February, for the lawmakers to deal with. I guess that doesn't always solve all the problems, though.
No, it doesn't. It presents some kind of some new challenges. So we get ideas like eliminating or drastically reducing the income tax. And in our opinion, OCA's position, that is long-term detrimental to ad valorem tax. It's negative to ad valorem. And so we get some of those types of ideas that surface. Now, the nice thing about surpluses or where we, I shouldn't say surpluses necessarily in just terms of being fully funded, we do are able to hopefully kind of keep some stability to some programs such as meat inspectors that we were able to get last year. Hopefully we can get some money for some other programs that are important and keep funding for programs that are very important to agriculture as well. But you're right, that presents a, even surpluses present a whole new litmus of challenges that maybe are different than deficits, but still very important that we pay attention to and address.
And you did mention, obviously, the filing period that did wrap up. Any surprises or anything that you see really starting to shape up for, I guess, primarily the June primary is what we're worried about at this particular moment?
Yeah, there's going to be what we're going to encourage folks to really pay attention to these, because a lot of these if you let me use the term contested election, what I mean by that is more than one's filed, so there is an election. A lot of them are going to be decided in the primary, especially on the state side. Now, the federal offices, they'll all be on the ballot all the way through the general. But some of these state offices will be decided in the primary. And so it's vitally important to pay attention to your local representative or senator election. And then probably for me, the biggest surprise was the total number of people that filed for office. And at the same time, the total number of offices that were only received one person filing for them. I know that kind of sounds opposite, and it is kind of hard to wrap your mind around, but I was expecting more contested races based upon what we were hearing on some specific issues that some are related to agriculture, most of them are not related to agriculture, more education and oriented. I expected to hear more or see more contested state elections. And then, of course, the number of people that have filed on some of these federal offices, especially Mr. Inhofe's seat that he's retiring, and then the second congressional district, there's a lot of people in those races. And so it's going to be very important to pay attention to those, and then also pay attention to, 110% chance that for sure both of those will go to a runoff. And so runoffs tend to be not much participation, be critical for ag producers, cattle producers to pay attention to those runoff elections as well.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Kelsey, Executive VP, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.